Chapter 7.
My body yearned for yours while you were gone, my king.
Ipsith sighed as she started to rock her hips back and forth on top of me. The elven woman's face glowed in the moonlight, and there was something about her tonight that made the blood in my core rise with a new kind of urgency. As I pulled her back to me to kiss her soft, wet lips and her velvety neck, my cock started to press against my jeans. I wanted to be inside Ipsith more than ever before, but I resisted the urge so I could explore her amazing hourglass figure first. My hand slid up her back, under her sweater, and deftly unsnapped the clasp of her bra. Then, in one smooth motion, I pulled her sweater and the unclasped bra over her head as the wealth of her long, white hair fell back over her shoulders and large breasts. As I saw the plum color of Ipsith's pert nipples, my erection pressed painfully against the restraint of my jeans, and I started to grind my hips against hers. I surged forward and began to kiss, suck, and lick the elven woman's hard nipples, and Ipsith arched her back, gasped, and raked her fingers through the back of my hair. My wife moaned with delight as I kissed her large breasts.
Oh, my king!
Shh! I hushed Ipsith as I came up for air and thought about Mrs. Whitmire trying to peep through her windows. While I went to gently press a finger against the blue-skinned woman's pouty lips, Ipsith took hold of my hand and started to suck on my finger as she pulled me back to her full tits with her other hand. I began to flick my tongue against the pert nub of her nipple again, and I listened to the violet-eyed woman's breathing grow faster. Then I firmly grabbed Ipsith's supple ass and picked her up, and I got out of the lawn chair and laid my elven wife on the cool, damp grass as I undid the button on her tiny shorts. The Daisy Dukes and her little pink panties came off together as I roughly pulled them off her round thighs, and then I took a moment to just stare down at Ipsith as she laid on the grass, naked under the moon and stars. The sparse, white hair above her tight pussy was already pearled with moisture, and as I leaned over the blue-skinned woman, I slowly ran my hand up her inner thigh before I pushed two fingers into her small, wet tunnel.
Eddie!
Ipsith purred as she tried her best to be quiet.
Yes! Oh, God, that feels so good!
You're so wet! I rumbled as I lowered my face over her ready pussy and gave her one teasing lick. Fuck, you smell so good. I greedily began to lap and suck at her little pink clit and tasted her tangy juices. Ipsith writhed as I continued to go down on her, and she had to bite her hand to keep from calling out into the night air. I started to suck and lick harder as I moved my fingers in and out of her slick pussy, and I could feel her inner muscles start to contract with pleasure, so I relentlessly moved my tongue and fingers against her. Come for me, my queen. I growled as I quickened the motions of my hand. I want you to squirt for me. Then I lowered my face again and sucked her clit for all I was worth. Ipsith breathed, barely able to contain her moans.
Yes! I'm going to...
There was a warm burst of juices as my wife came, and I raised up and licked my wet fingers as Ipsith watched and bit her lower lip with desire. The elven woman quickly got up on her knees as we kneeled together on the grass, and she took hold of my belt. She fumbled with the buckle and my fly in her haste, and I pulled off my t-shirt. All I could think about was being inside of her. I wanted to fill the blue-skinned woman up. Ipsith undid my fly with a flick of her wrist, and my impressive erection fell from my pants and boxers as the white-haired woman pulled them down my hips.
You're so hot.
Ipsith purred as she started to stroke my cock in her small hand. Because you're so damn beautiful. I snarled as waves of pleasure washed over me. Fuck. Even just your hand feels so good. I quickly kicked off my boots and pulled my pants off. And when I turned back to Ipsith, she was on her hands and knees in front of me, with her hips pushed back at just the right angle. I took hold of Ipsith's supple round hips, and she pushed her perfect ass back into me as I guided myself into her warm, wet pussy. The elven woman was so tight, and she fit around my dick like a glove. Ipsith moaned as I entered her.
Oh, God, yes! Fill me up, my king!
I rumbled as I pushed further inside her slick tunnel and started to move in and out. I love your tight pussy. Fuck, you're amazing! Ipsith started to push back into me harder, and it was all I could do to will myself not to come right then. I jackhammered against the elven woman's ass and hips, and I lost myself in the pleasure of how fucking good she felt. Ibsith whimpered with delight.
Give me your seed! Make me yours again!
I could feel as Ibsith came again, and as her pussy contracted with another orgasm, I couldn't hold off much longer. The blue-skinned woman began to piston her hips against me, and I thrust myself in and out of her as the pleasure burst. Yes! I snarled, and then I thrust one last time and released inside Ibsith. As usual, it was a mind-numbing orgasm, and it seemed like I poured my seed inside of her for a solid 30 seconds before my balls finally relaxed. Then, Ibsith and I held each other under the stars for a while, as we enjoyed the bliss of the after-sex glow. I ran my fingers down one of her lovely, slender arms, and I felt the goosebumps caused by the cool air of early fall. Oh, baby. I chuckled. Let's get some clothes on you. I guess I didn't think about how cold it's getting.
I kind of like it.
The blue-skinned woman giggled and snuggled into me.
The temperature hardly changes in the gloom, but up here, the warmth of the sun and the coolness of the night make such a lovely variety. The days don't all feel the same now that I'm with you.
You make everything better, too, I said in a quiet voice. No one has ever taken care of me like you do. I kissed the white-haired woman again, but another light breeze had my wife shivering, so we pulled apart with a laugh and gathered up our clothes. Then we went back into the house and got some sleep. Amrila was in the master bedroom, so Ibsith and I curled up around her and slowly drifted off. The next morning, I woke up to my Zinkari wife wrapped around me in the smell of coffee. I looked around as I blinked the sleep out of my eyes, and I saw that Ibsith wasn't in bed, so I assumed she'd already gotten up to make us all breakfast. I carefully tried to untangle myself from Amrila, who grumbled once and then rolled over and went back to sleep. I chuckled as I looked over at my Zinkari wife as she laid naked on the bed, with her smooth back and supple ass turned toward me. I thought for a moment about getting back into bed with her, but Amrila wasn't really a morning person, so I figured I'd wait and let her sleep in. I got dressed and went out to the kitchen to see what Ibsith had cooked up, and I came out of the hall just as the petite woman put the first length of bacon on the skillet and watched it sizzle.
Good morning, my king,
she said in a bright voice. How you feeling? I asked as I poured a mug of coffee. I didn't get a chance to ask you yesterday.
Much better,
my wife replied as she continued to fry the bacon.
I felt a little poorly when I first woke up, but it passed quickly.
That's good, I nodded. Probably just a stomach bug or something. Nyleme came out of Amrila's bedroom just then, with her long, dark hair still rumpled from sleep. Morning, I said in a cheery voice as I pulled another mug out of the cabinet for her. I looked at the mug in my hand and saw it said, World's Greatest Lover, and I realized it was one left over from my grandpa. After a small shudder, I chose not to think about that, and made a note to look for some dishes while we were out. This'll help you wake up, I added as I handed the Dolrath woman the mug. If you don't like the taste, you can add some milk and sugar to it.
I think it is best with milk and sugar,
Ibsith agreed as she turned over the bacon.
But Eddie and Amrila drink it black.
It's a little bitter,
Nyleme said as she took her first sip.
But the flavor is so rich. Thank you.
By the time Ibsith had cooked up some eggs, Amrila had gotten out of bed, and we all sat in the living room to eat. As we talked about what we wanted to do that day, there was a knock at the door, so I set my plate down on the coffee table and went over to the door to look through the peephole. Outside there was a man in a white Oxford shirt with a brown tie and tan slacks that didn't quite fit him. The gentleman had a pinched face, and his big wire-framed glasses made his big wet eyes look even bigger. Can I help you? I asked as I opened the door and looked at the clipboard in the man's hands.
You Edward Hill?
The rat-faced man asked. Yes, I am, I replied. It was never good when someone with a clipboard knew your name without asking.
I'm Michael Taylor, from the Board of Health,
the man in the glasses said in an apologetic tone, as if he understood he would be the last person I would want to meet.
I'm sorry to bother you, but the office couldn't find a good number to call ahead. We've received a serious complaint about possible conditions and health hazards in your home, and I've been sent to inspect the premises.
What? I blurted out in shock. Who filed the complaint?
The complaint was filed anonymously,
Taylor replied in the same apologetic tone.
May I inspect your home in the backyard? It's my understanding that there might be an old mine entrance back there.
Oh, fuck me. The last thing I wanted was for this guy to poke around the tunnels.
Can I say no? I asked slowly. You can, Mr. Hill. Taylor nodded without a change in tone. But you should be aware that if there's a significant reason for concern, I'll have to come back with a warrant and an officer and inspect your property. I know this is an inconvenience, but if there is an old mine, it can pose a risk not just to you, but to your neighbors as well if a shaft were to collapse. Well, I said as I started to think fast, I wouldn't want to make your job harder. I'm sure people give you a pretty hard time. They really do, the man in the glasses sighed. Come on in, I said as I stepped aside to let the inspector through. Good morning, the small man said with a start as he saw the two night elves and a half-demon woman in the living room.
Good morning, Michael Taylor,
Ipsith said brightly as the man entered the living room.
Would you like some coffee or bacon?
Oh, no, thank you, ma'am, Taylor stammered. Do all four of you live here? No, I said quickly. My wife Ipsith and I do, and our roommate Amrila. Nyla May is just here visiting. The dark-haired night elf blinked at the sound of her name, and she looked incredibly perplexed by what was happening. But thankfully she stayed silent and just observed. As I showed the inspector around the trailer, he asked me about how many bedrooms there were and whether we were on the city's sewer or had a septic tank. Every question he asked came in the same tone, as if he'd rather not have to ask as he ticked boxes off on the form on his clipboard. Well, I don't see anything wrong here, the short man said as he looked around. The fixtures in the kitchen and bathroom all seem to be up to code, and honestly, this is one of the cleanest homes I've ever been in.
Oh, thank you,
Ipsith said with a proud smile. Taylor nodded at her nervously and blushed a little. Really pays to have a hot wife, I guess. I think we can move on to the backyard, the man with the clipboard continued. Right this way, I replied with a smile as I led him to the back door. Taylor and I stepped into the backyard, and I led him over to the lilac bushes as I tried not to look nervous or shifty. Because there's some kids in the neighborhood, I explained as I held some branches back, I put that metal storm door on there. It's got a lock and everything.
That's very good thinking.
The spectacled man nodded as he wrote something down.
May I see down there?
I'd rather you didn't, I said as my mind raced. I wondered how safe it was myself, since I didn't know how old the safety supports were. I have a background in construction, so I've some plans to make it into a bug-out shelter.
I understand,
Taylor said as he looked around at the grass.
You'll probably need a permit from the planning office if you want to do anything extensive, but that's not the concern of the Board of Health. And this seems secured. I guess all that's left to do is to look around the yard to make sure the ground hasn't sunken down anywhere, and then I'll move on to your neighbors' houses to look at their yards.
I breathed an inward sigh of relief, but that was quickly replaced by annoyance, as I wondered if it had been Mrs. Whitmire or Brock Stanton who'd called the Board of Health on me. I watched as the inspector walked around the yard and looked for divots or sunken areas in his old brown dress shoes, and then he wrote a little more on his clipboard.
The ground looks solid,
Taylor said as he came back up to me.
I'll write up a report after I check your neighbor's yards, but I don't expect to find anything. I apologize for having interrupted your day.
You're just doing your job, I said with a friendly smile, but I don't want you to have to waste your time again. I couldn't say for sure, but I've been having trouble with one of the neighbors after I outbid him for the place next door. Sorry you got dragged into it.
Oh, we get that from time to time.
Taylor sighed and shook his head.
Feuding neighbors calling in complaints on each other, I'll make a note of that. As long as everything checks out in the other yards, I doubt you'll hear from us again, Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. I grinned at the short man. Then I saw the inspector out through the gate on the side yard and watched as he headed over to the Miller's place. That was good. If the man in the glasses had gone over to Mrs. Whitmire's place first, I was sure she would have told him all kinds of stories about me. But I knew Dave wouldn't do that, and anything Mrs. Whitmire had to say would be tempered by what David had to say. Then I looked over and saw Brock as he watched from his porch. What an absolute prick. I couldn't prove it was him who'd called the Board of Health on me, but I'd bet my money it was him. I lifted my hand and gave the thick-necked man a neighborly wave just to piss him off and show him his plan hadn't worked, but I made the firm decision not to let Brock get to me. The bald man's stupid little stunt hadn't come to anything more than a waste of 40 minutes of my time. Stanton would probably spend the rest of the day stewing about it, but not me. I went in the house and made a beeline to the living room, where I started to put my boots on. Let's go out and have some fun, I said to the three gorgeous women on my couch. We'll show Nyla May around and treat ourselves. The women and I all piled into the Rubicon, and I pulled out the cul-de-sac with the radio blaring. As we drove to Elyria,
Ibsith and Amrila told Nylame about life on the surface. They explained how they told anyone who asked about their appearances that they were cosplayers, and then what that was. Ibsith even pulled out the phone I'd gotten her and showed the Dolrath woman some of her favorite cosplay influences.
These are called videos,
the white-haired woman said.
They like to show you how they make their costumes and paint their skin and faces. They are wonderful artists.
How does this little box work?
Nylame asked as she watched a video of a young woman dressed up like her favorite anime character.
It's like a window into another world.
Oh, Eddie says it's not magic.
Amrila scoffed.
Something about the signals that float through the air all around us, but it sounds like magic to me.
Once we hit the bigger town, I looked up a couple of furniture stores and picked the one with the best reviews for delivery. It was still going to be a little while before we could move into the new house while we waited for the escrow process to wrap up, but Travis said it wouldn't be more than a month at most. David and Jesse Miller had already found a place they liked, so they'd move out as soon as all the legal stuff was handled on their end. I was excited to get to furnish a place that was all my own. In college, I'd lived in a dorm with cheap furniture, and most of the stuff in the trailer was still just what Grandpa had left me. But I figured we could get a couple of things for the trailer, too. Maybe replace the horrible rust-colored couch from the 70s in the living room. We pulled up to a huge warehouse-style furniture outlet, and the ladies and I wandered in. The area near the entrance was all living room furniture, and it was all staged to look like dozens of little sitting rooms.
This is the largest market I have ever seen,
Nylame said in a quiet voice as she looked around at the wealth of options on display. We started to wander through the couches and end tables as we got a feel for what all the place had to offer. You both can decorate your rooms however you like, but I think we should try to find stuff we can all agree on for the living room, I said as the women started to touch the plush cushions and sat on different pieces to test them out. I didn't care a whole lot about interior design, but Ibsith and Amrila had wildly different tastes. My only real goal was to get a big, comfy dad chair, since my own dad had an old lazy boy that sat in the corner of my parents' living room. My mom had absolutely hated the worn-out gray chair with nearly threadbare arms she tried to cover with crocheted arm covers, but it was a losing battle. The chair was Dad's throne, and he refused to get rid of it. I could picture Dad now, half asleep in his recliner with a beer in his hand as he watched a game. A chair like that was a rite of passage for a family man, and I wanted one too. Eventually, a middle-aged woman in a floral blazer with her hair teased into a blonde football helmet came up to us. The older lady wore a name tag that said Blair, and a somewhat concerned look was etched across her face.
How may I help you, Ewens?
Blonde woman asked with a Midwestern twang. Hi. I smiled at Blair and held up my hand to shake. We're looking to furnish a new house. The whole deal. Living room, dining room, a couple of bedrooms. We're kind of starting from scratch.
Ooh, okay.
Blair replied in a friendly tone, but I watched as she looked down at my beat-up work boots and over at the three wild-looking women.
So, are Ewens just looking today?
If we find something we like, we'll buy it today, I said as I chose to ignore the judgmental undertones in the woman's question. It was my experience that once shop clerks realized how much money I could put down, they got way friendlier, and I could bet Blair probably worked on commission. It's gonna be a few weeks before we can move into the new place, I continued, so we'll need to set up a delivery date. But you'll want to talk to the ladies about what they want. I don't know a thing about decorating. But money is no object, whatever they want. I watched Blair's face fall a little as she looked over at the two night elves and the Zinkari woman, and I tried my best to keep the amusement off my own face.
Well then,
the blonde woman said as she walked up to the women.
What did you girls have in mind?
To her credit, Blair followed my wives and Nylame around as Amrila and Ibsith debated about couches and coffee tables. My elven wife seemed to gravitate to floral patterns and soft colors. While the horned woman pointed at leather pieces that were mostly black, Blair did her best to help them, but they couldn't agree on anything.
I don't think you're going to win Amrila over on the flowers,
Nylame finally said in her mild voice to Ibsith.
Maybe the compromise is to find something soft and comfortable that you like, but in a darker color Amrila can agree to. What about that deep blue one over there?
The dark-haired woman pointed to a sapphire-colored set with silver accents, and Blair led the three women over to the set as I followed. The set kinda had a suede fabric, and as Ibsith and Amrila sat down to try them out, they both smiled.
Yes,
the white-haired woman said as she ran her hands over the plush fabric.
I do like this one. It's very nice,
my Zinkari wife replied as she sunk into the love seat.
I think this is the one. I should point out, this set is $5,000.
Blair said with a tight smile on her face.
That's fine, I chimed in, if that's what they want.
Should I write it up?
The older woman asked in a wavering voice. Yeah, I nodded. Should we move on to dining sets? That's how things went for the rest of our time in the furniture store. Nyla May seemed to be able to always find a happy medium between my two wives. And Blair started to warm up to us as soon as she realized just how much money I was going to drop. I was sure the blonde woman was going to make a great commission from the $10,000 or so I'd spent. As our little group headed to the front to settle up, we passed by a section of recliners, and I saw it. The navy blue, overstuffed Lazy Boy stood out like a jewel among coal. It had a cup holder for my beer and hidden pockets for remote or snacks. It was perfect. How much is this one? I asked the sales clerk.
That one is 800.
Blair replied with a knowing smile on her round face. The woman had clearly seen this from men before and understood the special relationship between a man and his perfect chair. I'll take this one too, I said with a big grin on my face as I sat down and was consumed in the soft folds of the recliner. Once I'd finally pulled myself from the world's best chair, the ladies and I went with Blair to finalize everything and set up the eventual delivery. Afterward, the women and I piled into the Rubicon and headed to Nathan's to show Nyla May some guns.